audience really does understand that our environment affects our health. You also probably understand that our problems are global, complex, and in fact described by many as being wicked. More importantly, from a public health perspective, there are socially unjust conditions that occur. Some populations are more negatively affected by their environment than others. The solutions require system-spanning collaboration. One agency, one discipline, one group will not be able to solve our environmental health problems. What we need are motivated professionals who are committed to engage multiple stakeholders with different perspectives and different knowledges. That kind of collaboration requires a dialogue. And to be in dialogue, you need to be fostering empathy and perhaps even passion for another group's goals. You also need to kind of think about your own assumptions. In that, our own assumptions can often limit the solutions that are even brought to the table. If we can collectively commit and work across these kinds of lines, then we can probably be eliminating our environmental health problems. The UNC Exchange Project was a five-year educational grant funded by NIEHS. The philosophical home for the project was in the Department of Health Behavior and Health Education, the department of which I'm a faculty member. We had a wide range of collaborators, including our community-based activist group, as well as attorney group, and then our colleagues in the Department of Epidemiology and Social Medicine. The three project goals were assessment, where we did formative issue and stakeholder research. Then we developed multimedia materials and pilot tested them and with a plan for dissemination. And then the third act is the dialogue for action, where we've developed processes and materials that will serve as a foundation for dialogue and eventually systems change. This next slide shows the conceptual model for the project. You'll see across the top those three phases. And far over to the right, you'll see that we believe that dialogue for action will lead to improved methods for environmental health promotion. Beginning with assessment, we knew that we wanted to better understand the perceptions and the assumptions from a number of different stakeholder groups. Our formative inquiry started with the community experiences in North Carolina. We felt that those experiences would have national, if not international, relevance. We then used this information to inform our educational campaign. We learned, for example, from community members their opinions about the responsiveness of government officials, and then we developed particular discussion triggers to explore that information a little bit more. We also learned from professionals that they did not always, that all of them did not understand the conditions within which some of the community members needed to work, nor did they always understand how they were perceived by community members. So separate discussion triggers were developed to get at those issues. You'll see along the left-hand side the four stakeholder groups that we focused on. Now we understand that there are a number of other important stakeholder groups that are important to solving environmental health issues. This table contains the roles for the stakeholder group as well as some of their challenges. So for example, community members may be the first to experience an environmental health concern, but they may not know who to call. Researchers will quantify the associations and publish their results, but the funding is limited, sample sizes are small, the research designs are complex, and in fact it's quite challenging if you're trying to obtain tenure to do some of this work. With regard to government officials, they are responding to requests for information from the public, but they are often under great political pressure in terms of the responses that they can provide. Additionally, for some of the decisions they need to make, they have limited information. And finally, attorneys represent the interests of specific groups. However, they do not always have the scientific information that they need. In terms of our sampling criteria for our case communities, we were trying to pick communities that had had a hazard, had had some research or investigation done, had a political activist, a group, and had some kind of litigation. We wanted to find these communities to be reasonable for our project within 200 miles of the School of Public Health. In terms of researchers, we looked at the departments, in the public and private academic and research institutions. For government administrators, we looked at the organizational chart for Diener and DHHS. And for attorneys, we worked through the professional organization and their membership in environmental, civil rights, and tort. We found 12 communities that met our criteria. We interviewed key informants and looked at media reports for their story. We conducted 2 internet surveys to try to reach the researchers and attorneys who had actually had experience working in environmental health and with community members. We got 111 responses from researchers and 45 from attorneys. We then did in-depth interviews with 20 to 40 members in each of our stakeholder groups. What we learned from synthesizing all of this information was that the stories in the communities were rich and that there was an interest in having those narratives told. There were a number of consistent aspects coming across some of those communities, as well as some unique. Not surprisingly, we learned that community perceptions differed between community members and professionals, and that the level of engagement among professionals in environmental health concerns varied greatly. There were 5 general themes that came out from talking from all 4 of these groups: concepts associated with government responsiveness, observations and comments about trust, integrity, values, and motivation, research benefits, risks, and uses, experience with community, as well as the impact of political issues. From the assessment phase, we moved quickly into the development of educational materials that would engage these stakeholders in dialogue about these important issues. We knew that we wanted to increase the usefulness of research and to emphasize learning from the past and community members. A very important aspect, though, was to sensitize groups to others' perspectives. And therefore, we were developing facilitation guides and discussion triggers that would help engage these individuals in dialogue. We did that through Reader's Theater clips and film clips, as well as video documentaries. And we knew then from this information that we needed to have a website that was going to engage multiple stakeholders holding different perspectives. This is a list of the print materials that are available on our website. Again, we wanted it to be engaging. We took the community case stories, and there's a 4-page version called, in a series, Real People, Real Stories, and then there's a longer, more detailed version with all of the references. We have 4 research summaries highlighting very recent research conducted in North Carolina on environmental health issues. And finally, we have a suggested curriculum that high school teachers and or undergraduate faculty members could use in working through some of the material that's here. In terms of the discussion triggers, we have 8 Reader's Theater scripts. 5 of them are actually based loosely on some of the case studies, and then another 3 are kind of interrelated so that they could be done independently, but also in a series to see how the problem unfolded. For the film clips, we drew from the full-length feature films that have dealt with environmental health issues, as well as from the documentary, The Corporation. The facilitation guides includes discussion questions and recommendations for how to pull group together, as well as additional information that may be helpful. The scripts and film triggers and guides were all pilot tested with our target group, including community members, teachers, and members of nonprofit organizations. In terms of our video documentaries, it was in request to comments from our community group that we started down this path. And in fact, the first one happened to be a tribute to Nan Freeland, a longtime activist in Durham, North Carolina. She was a member of our project team until her untimely death in November of 2004. We have just finished a 30-minute documentary called Voices for Justice, It Takes All of Us. This documentary is to introduce viewers to environmental justice issues and stakeholder perspectives, and what is needed to improve these conditions. and sensitizing professionals to a wide range of perspectives, we hope that the video will broaden the possibilities of the solutions in the dialogue. The video explores specific reasons why community members may distrust researchers who seek collaboration. The video also describes how government officials have to respond within sometimes informational and or political constraints. The video also covers the interest that researchers have and attorneys have in working in environmental health. It also clarifies how central the role is of community members. Our webpage is organized in several different ways to list the issues and or locations, and or you could search on it by the information that you would like to get. Our long-term vision for the website is that it could eventually be a portal for streaming video, perhaps a blog or a chat to connect other individuals who want to work in this system-spanning location. Critical dialogue is an important step in fostering environmental justice. In considering how to promote dialogue, we looked at a number of processes that are out there and some of the recommendations. We also drew from our own experience and ended up listing these three key ingredients: wanting to foster empathy, suspending assumptions, and the concept of collective thinking. We envision our materials contributing to a process that will facilitate discussion that would honor these multiple perspectives. Our goal is to influence government researchers and attorneys. Within homogeneous groups, we hope that our materials will help those professionals to recognize and perhaps even challenge their own assumptions. In cross-sector groups, we hope that our materials will help people to understand other people's perspectives in a little bit better. This process should help to generate ideas for policy and systems change. What we really do need, that those participating in a process like this would inspire their professional commitment, and that we also believe that core values such as civic engagement or civic activism, if you will, democratic governance, bureaucratic responsiveness, scientific integrity, and eventually corporate responsibility could evolve from these kinds of dialogue groups. So, environmental health issues are not new. There is a long history, and such problems are increasingly being acknowledged by concerned citizens as well as politicians. Government systems do protect the environment, but their disparity remains. Protection is not uniform. We must adjust our governing systems to reduce that disparity. Environmental health promotion can lead to solutions that would provide more than protection. We need motivated and dedicated citizens and professionals working together to build the support to tackle systems change. It won't be easy, but doing that together can happen. Dialogue is a first step. Dialogue for Action was developed to increase the resolve among decision makers to develop models resulting in more equitable and socially just practices. The Exchange Project is evolving from our formative educational project towards a vehicle for environmental health promotion. Please visit our webpage and let us know what you think about the materials.